Yeah, so I decided to, instead of gargling salt water, I gargled whiskey.
You fool.
Let me tell you what. Cold whiskey is very hard to gargle. I could see this, like, smoke shit coming out of my mouth. I was like, ah. And then it was, like, burning and cold and, It wasn't as enjoyable as I thought it was going to be.
No.
Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 40 of the Gamesman RPG. We are here to play roles and talk about games and all that stuff, you know what we're doing. Anyway, with me today, it's just one person, it's the ever faithful Gary Amorous 89 Lever. How are you doing, sir?
I can talk.
Sort of.
Well, I might as well say what's been happening. So, over last week I said I was sick. This week I've had horrible, horrible mucus build up and coughing and a lot of coughing. And I've basically killed my vocal cords by all the coughing. So I'm going to try to talk as long as possible. But yeah, like, it's been work, hell, assholes at work. And today I went and scrub the walls in the basement because we got rid of a freezer and we're getting a stand-up freezer, basically. And it's going to take up a lot less room, and I moved a bunch of stuff around, painted a wall and all that stuff. That was fun. But I haven't done much because of this horrible, horrible throat. So how have you been, Dan?
Well, I've had a similar kind of coughing thing that's as you, with my cold and that mucus and stuff, and it felt like the other day I cracked a rib or something because I was coughing so much.
Hey, like me.
Yeah, that's getting a bit better. My voice is still a bit croaky at times, but I've developed this weird dizziness thing, so whenever I move my eyes I hear this weird noise and then everything spins and I feel like I'm going to vomit. So hopefully we will make it through the show. I'll just keep staring at my screen and not blinking, and you'll have to, I don't know, maybe get some cough medicine or something to help your throat out. But yeah, it's been, you know, same old really for me.
So how do you move your eyes and you hear something?
Yeah, it's this weird noise. You know, like if you, that slight noise you hear when you turn a screen off.
It's kind of that buzzing kind of.
Yeah, it's that kind of noise every time I move my eyes, and sometimes it's actually started getting quite louder now.
So it's confirmed Dan is robotic.
Yeah, I think I might have to go and see the doctor tomorrow and find out what the hell's going on, because, you know, walking about or even just moving my head makes me feel like I'm going to vomit. It's nice. Well, it's not nice. It's horrible. It's it's awful. I just want to sleep. So yeah, we're ill. What have we been playing, Gary? What have you been up to game wise?
Well, before playing, I actually watched—I can't remember what day it was. I watched Free to Play, and that's an interesting little movie. It's made by Valve, and you can get it on the Steam store for free. So you might as well watch it. And it follows like a bunch of different teams, well, people that are in these different teams throughout the world. Like, there's one guy from the United States and, you know, not Korea, like Japan and stuff like that. And it's really interesting finding out the backstories and all that to him. So I would say, you know, give it a watch. It's an hour and a half long, I believe. And I just felt like not playing anything, so I did that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Actually, that was Wednesday, I think, after I got back from the neurosurgeon. He didn't tell me anything. So, yeah, that was a wasted trip. It was like a half an hour. Just yesterday, I was showing my cousin stuff because they were over here and everything. I played like 5 minutes of Shovel Knight, just showing them the stuff and talking to them about it. And then I played a little bit of DuckTales Remastered, showing him and everything. Because he said something about Shovel Knight and DuckTales, and then I showed him DuckTales. I was like, yeah. It's like the old game we used to play, except remastered and awesome. And voice acting and crazy awesome stuff. And then, because of last week, we talked about Octodad, I decided to play the new free levels that you got. And they're pretty short. They don't take very long. And then you do a couple things that you... I don't know. Maybe I'm just really good at the crap. But I didn't, like, have any trouble moving around and not making people notice and all this stuff. The one that I mentioned was... It's the one that takes place at dinner. I can't remember. Dad Romance. Yeah, that's what it's called. Dad Romance. And it's basically like your first date with the woman that you marry or are married to in the regular game. And it's really weird because you go in and then, you talk to the, whatever the hell they call them, the person that sits you down at, the restaurant.
Maitre d'. Sure. The waiter.
No, well, the waiter's normally not the one that seats you.
Yeah, sometimes they are over here.
That's whenever they're short staffed.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you go up to him, and he's like, "I do not see your name on here. I could possibly be bribed." Wink, wink. And then you have to search through jackets to find money to bribe him. And then you go sit down, and you like have to eat. They bring out, it's like a 5-course meal you're eating for one, and for some reason, you go to wash your hand or wash yourself because you spilled something on yourself. And after you like wash yourself off, you come out of the bathroom and then like they take you or the people think you're like the new waiter or something like that. And for some reason, you have to help out in the kitchen. You have to go wait tables. You have to clean tables. And it's funny, they say the clear tables. I just fucking knocked the tables. Everyone's like, he's a master. It's hilarious. But yeah, it was really weird that you had to do all these jobs while you're on a date. So interesting. But they're fun. Since they're free, you might as well play them. And then I saw the workshop stuff and I went, and I was like looking at them, going through them. And one caught my eye. It's called Wrecking Blub. Take a guess what this is about.
I've got a funny feeling it might happen to do with something to do with Smiley Virus.
Yep. It's an interactive music video. And they play Wrecking Ball, and they instead of showing Miley Cyrus, you are Octodad. And it goes off with like how the music video goes and shit. And it's just got his face up there while the singing's going. It's got the actual song in it. So you're just going through it. And then you could, like, whenever she has the sledgehammer and shit, they have a sledgehammer in there you can grab and start hitting walls and shit. And then they bring a wrecking ball in that you can grab onto and swing off of. And Octodad's completely naked.
Oh, God.
It was the funniest thing ever. I was dying laughing. If you have the game and you have it on Steam and everything, you gotta give it a try. It's hilarious. And like the walls are breakable, so you're like, I was taking the wrecking ball through the walls and taking the sledgehammer through the walls and breaking them. Oh my God. So good. Oh, and then I tried out a couple more, like bowling and stuff like that. And then I gave up on bowling and went down the lane and just knocked the pins over because I couldn't do it. But there's a couple There's a couple on there. There aren't any that are like really good, but they're just interesting to try out. Other than that, I played Worms. Worms Revolution did like the first level of that. It's Worms. If you haven't played Worms,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, really. It's been the same for the past. I don't even know how many years these games have been coming out. It's been at least 10. But yeah, it's still fun. Played some Defense Grid 2, and that game is more Defense Grid and awesome. And there's so many more people talking. It's not just the one AI guy in it who likes his raspberries. but yeah, that game is a lot of fun. I have not gotten gold on a level yet. So I just think I'm good at Defense Grid since I played so much of the first one. Basically I like sit back and oh, they're starting to make it through, I'll upgrade this or I'll put this over here, and it hasn't gotten hard enough yet. So I'll just keep going on. I mean, you can set higher difficulties and stuff. There's a whole shit ton of modes and stuff you can run through on each level. So
going back to Worms, it'll be 20 years old next year.
Oh my god, 20.
The original. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that old. I know I played like, I don't even remember what it was called, but I know I played one of them way back whenever I was younger. And I played it with like my cousin, my brother and stuff. Like we'd take turns, you know, go to each other's, side, and then you just switch back and forth. So that was a cool game back in the day. I mean, they had the sheep and shit that I remember there was one, I think it was called the worm or something like that. It was like a small, tiny worm that went like throughout the whole map. And if you angled it right, you came out on the other side and like hit the guy, blew him up or whatever. And I love that the environments are all destructible and shit. Cause like, you know, you're just blowing up like all the area around them and stuff like that. I did a shuriken at a guy that was interesting. Defense Grid, good game. I kickstarted it way back, I don't think it was 2 years ago, like a year and a half or whatever ago. And they finally came out with it, and I'm loving it. So, yeah.
Cool.
I'm going to keep playing it through. Because it's definitely interesting with all the different voice actors and people interacting with each other. And then they had the video thing that I watched as well, which is like 25 minutes long. It's kind of going through the history a little bit of, not like the in-game history, not even the history of like making game or anything.
No.
And, so it's like a bunch of, people that you hear throughout the game, and they're just talking. It basically takes place right before you start in the game. So it's worth giving a listen to. And I don't know if you had to. Maybe it was a pre-purchase thing, but like, I know I got it because of the Kickstarter, and I gave a code to Dan, and he has it too, so he can watch it. So if you have that, I would say watch it. There's nothing going on. It's just showing pictures and they're talking. And then there's every once in a while you can make a choice, and bring stuff up. So that's cool. Also Alien Isolation, played more of that. Finally got to the alien. And whenever the alien comes up, like they fucking bring the ambient noises and everything out. And there was one part at like the first time that you, are in a room. The second time, he shows up. Whenever he's actually like going to kill you, if he sees you. He'd kill you anytime he sees you, but the first time you're like in a big area trying to not get seen, he went up into the vents and I could hear him overhead, like going across and shit, and it was freaking me out. But, it's interesting. Hopefully it holds up for 20 hours. Maybe 2 hours in, I'm guessing. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure what all is going to go on. I went to this different area now, and there's, like, android guys, and they're not even, like, the realistic-looking ones. Like, they're cheap. They're, like, maybe the original in, like, the universe, I guess, of, like, them making androids and shit. And they got glowing eyes and stuff. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with all that. But I still want to get more into the game, and I know I'll be playing a lot more of it during Extra Life, so I'll probably be playing a lot of different shit during Extra Life. So I can catch up on all those games and get all those victory achieved. And then other than that, Sherlock Holmes, Crimes and Punishment. So, I have completed like 3 more cases, and I love the game. It's a lot of fun. There isn't that much. Actually, there's like basically no puzzle. No. There's minimal puzzles in this, and they're not as difficult as in the other games. So that kind of sucks. But there are a few. They aren't that hard to really figure out, so that's kind of disappointing. But I, like, basically it being called Crimes and Punishments is going through a bunch of different crimes and, you know, different, investigations. And basically at the end of every investigation, you get to choose. There could be multiple, people that could have committed this crime, and you have to put all the pieces together, like find all the clues and everything, and then make your choice. Like basically it's like a spider web thing that happens, but in the game it looks like a nervous system kind of thing connecting together. It's really interesting, and you have to find out like what the motives and stuff like that are. And you have to choose the right ones, put them all together, and then, like, say there's 3 different people you could choose. You have to kind of, well, you can choose the wrong one, but you want to, you want to figure out who actually did and choose the right person. And then you can either choose to arrest them or absolve them. And absolving, basically, it's like a morality thing, like, okay, this person may have did this, but they did it for a reason that's, that wasn't bad. Like the last one I did, the guy killed somebody, but he did it to protect somebody else. So, you know, do you want to send him to jail, or do you want, you know, to let him go and, like, he's the better of the two evils, you know, that were kind of in that story. So you could arrest him and all that shit. Or you can let him go, and, you know, it plays out differently and stuff. And you get letters throughout the game as well after you complete the investigations. And, you know, it's like kind of letters from somebody or showing, like, news articles and stuff of stuff that's happening. So that's really cool. It's really interesting. And I will definitely probably beat that game soon because I don't think I have that many more crimes that I'll have to investigate, because I've done like 5 or 6 now, I think. So I've probably got to be coming down the game. And then other than that, because somebody was so generously kind, I can't remember who he is right now, but they bought me Borderlands the pre-sequel.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like some guy. I think his name started with a Hardley, or maybe it was a last name of Dan. I can't remember.
I think he bought it for me as well.
Really? He's such a nice guy. So this is where Dan and I are going to talk about Borderlands. The pre-sequel.
Yeah.
And of course, it starts out like fucking Borderlands does. And like they always start off with like fucking bandits on cars and shit, and then this time they're chasing a train that's not actually it's a train, it's a rocket that's gonna go up into space. So it's very interesting, and it's really cool opening to it, just how everything always happens and shit. But the game's interesting and fun since you're on the moon. You don't start on the moon, but you get to the moon, and there's no oxygen. Figure that. So you have,
it's not our moon.
No, it's the which I guess another place could actually have it if they had atmosphere. But like, you have to get a helmet thing so you can breathe, but the helmet runs out of air, so you have to find air pockets and shit Which is weird, I guess, because there's like air vent kind of thing coming out of the ground on the moon that you can go into and you can replenish your air and shit. The story so far, Dan, how do you think of the story?
Well, we haven't got very far into it yet.
Not really, we've only got like a couple hours in.
But it seems all right. I mean, you can tell it's made by the Australian team because like everyone you meet in there is Australian.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. Story-wise, I can't really comment on that at the moment. We've basically done the tutorial bit, and that's about it, really. Gameplay, it's Borderlands, isn't it?
It's interesting seeing this version of Jack.
Yeah, because obviously it's, you know, in between 1 and 2, and well, Jack wasn't in the first one. But it's kind of cool. It does kind of, you know, you're wondering actually what side are you on? Are you being arseholes or what's happening? Or are we going to see Jack becoming an arsehole? Is he actually quite a nice guy at the moment? We'll see.
Right now, like, he's just a worker or whatever at Hyperion, something like that.
Yeah. And, he's stuck. And I've got to kind of rescue him. But yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty cool. It's, yeah, like I said, it's more Borderlands. There's nothing really that's grabbed me so far. Obviously the low gravity is quite cool, the way you can, you know, jump around and butt slam people. And,
you've been enjoying the butt slam.
I have. It's one of my most powerful attacks. So
it does hurt the people a lot. And the enemies actually can do it too.
Yeah. And you know, the whole, you know, verticality allowing you to, you know, go different places and shoot people from different angles and things like that. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, how about your ability, being, because you chose to be Claptrap.
Yeah. Claptrap's ability is quite cool. He runs this program and it basically gives you, loads of different abilities. So at one point you can have two guns and you just can't stop firing and you're kind of going gunzerker.
Which is interesting because it happened. I don't get two guns, but I had the ability come on to me too where I couldn't stop you. I was like, what the hell's going on?
I didn't know that.
I was like, I can't stop you. I'm running out of ammo.
Yeah. So basically you get the skills that anyone in the game, any of the characters in the game have, including some of the older guys, you know, from Borderlands 1 and all the classes, basically. So yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah, I like the one where you get that fiery winged claptrap going around just killing everything.
I wonder if they have a super overpowered one that like comes up very not very often, and then like it just kills everything.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. It could be interesting.
The cool one of guns is the gunzerker shit.
Yeah,
and like just, you know, claptrap like kind of transforms and stuff during it too. It's funny.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm playing as I've got a different skin on. He's kind of like a kind of cross between a waste bin and a bulldozer, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's good fun. I don't know, maybe I'm getting a bit tired of Borderlands.
Yeah, we need to find Tina. She's hilarious. We need to find that one character that's gonna stand out. But like, I like my ability. Basically all I do is, whenever I use it, I like automatically get, head or locked on to like enemies' heads. And I can cycle through the enemies and just keep fucking mowing them down. So I don't even have to aim. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I would definitely need to play more of it.
Right now we're just playing co-op. And
yeah, the music's cool. The atmosphere's great. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just at the moment, nothing's really making me think, oh, I've got to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they didn't change that much. And it's funny, whenever it starts up and everything, like, you know, the auto-save icon is the exact same from 2. Same color.
And one. Thing.
Well, I think one was a different color. I think it was red. And two was blue.
That's the same shade as the Vault logo, isn't it? So,
blue. Yeah. But then, yeah, they're not going to change a huge amount because there's so many people that love the game, so.
This is the cash grab game.
Yeah, it's a bit like Nintendo's holding cycle for games. But yeah, it's fun. We'll obviously talk more about it when we've got further into it, I guess.
Yep.
But I'm liking it. Just not enough.
Speaking of Borderlands, Dan.
Yeah, well, I completed Borderlands 2 because gotta finish that. I didn't do all of the side missions. I just raced through it and I was kind of like, oh, it's all right, I suppose. Interesting story, but everyone's finished that apart from me. So I might as well just stop talking about that. Obviously, Borderlands, the pre-sequel, which we've just been talking about. Elite Dangerous, been playing some more of Beta 2. It's really, I'm really getting into it now. There's so much more stuff that you can do and such a much bigger area now. It just seems like a lot more fleshed out and it feels more lived in. There's a load more people around, you know, AI and real people. So it's feeling really cool. I bought the, docking computer, which I've now sold. That's quite cool. But utterly pointless. It takes, you know, from like 1 kilometer out of the place, out of the star, space station that you're trying to dock into, you take your throttle off and it takes control. And then it takes like nearly up to a minute. I suppose it's okay if you want to go and make a cup of tea. Whilst you, perhaps I should get one. But the problem is when you've got it enabled and, you're just trying to land yourself, I'd just taken the throttle off and I was just going down to land and, the autopilot takes over and it starts going up and then it just spazzes out and I'm getting a fine for loitering over a different pad and it takes me miles out and restarts the whole process again. I was like, oh, that sucks. God. So I guess I could have one and just not have it enabled, but then it's going to take a slot that I could have something else on, like some more cargo or a kill once scanner or something else. So I don't know. But yeah, I've been tooling around in my Cobra Mark III and upgrading that. And I think I've decided which weapons I'm going to go for next. And then I'm going to start bounty hunting. Yeah. And I played a tiny little bit of Star Citizen because there's a thanks to, all the people that, got the game before. I can't remember what goal it was, but it was probably something like 50 million. They gave everyone, was it 10,000 or 9,000? I think it was 10,000. 10,000 UEC in-game credits that you can use for. You can buy better weapons for your ship, or I just bought stuff to make my hangar look a bit more interesting. I got myself a shitty little bunk, a lamp that goes right next to the shitty little bunk, because that's got something to do with a live stream they were doing where this lamp was constantly in the picture. So they've put that into the game, and a massive ass fish tank. With three fish in it at the moment. So, that looks quite cool. I've put some Steam screenshots up. I'll link them to the Facebook page if anyone wants to look at those. Oh, and there's a load more. Well, I say a load more. There's a few more, massive 4K res, screenshots of Elite Dangerous that I need to upload at some point, but they take me an hour each and,
ridiculous.
But yeah, actually, I've been doing some other stuff other than, playing. I've been continuing with, Extant. That's been pretty good. I need to finish off the series. I think I've got like 4 episodes to go. And Gotham. I've been really enjoying watching Gotham. It's pretty damn cool. If you're a fan of Batman and everything, you know, Arkham and Gotham related, go check it out. It's pretty cool. In the UK, it's airing on Channel 5 on Mondays at 9 o'clock. I think we're a few weeks behind, the guys in the States. I'm not sure what channel it's airing on the States. Terribly sorry, but well worth checking out. I'm really enjoying it. It's very dark. Yeah, it's interesting to see how they're just, you know, the kind of the origin stories of all these characters that we've known for years. It's kind of cool.
Play Batman Arkham Origins to learn about Batman's backstory. Well, not really fine backstory, but
no, and yeah, it's obviously set when
after his parents.
Bruce Wayne's. Yeah, well, it's the first episode is his parents being killed, and this new police officer, he's taking over the case. And I'm not going to say anymore because you probably know what I'm talking about, and it's bloody good. Go and watch it.
You don't know.
So yeah, that's been about it. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's about it. What we've been up to, what we've been playing, stuff like that. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to have a cup of tea, and we'll be back with the news. Enjoy listening to whatever this is. Okay, we are back, sort of. Gary's just had a gargle of whiskey, and apparently he can talk for a little bit longer, so I guess he better go first with the first part of the news.
Yay. the first one is about the Halo Master Chief Collection. Yay. And apparently, on day one, if you're getting this, when you're getting this, you better be ready, or you better get it midnight and just let it go, because you gotta download a 20 gigabyte update for it. And this gives like the whole multiplayer. It unlocks the multiplayer and unlocks some other features for the game. So have fun with that. And then that's not the only thing, because if you get it digitally, like the game's already 45 gigabytes, so now you got 65 gigabytes to download.
So, wow.
Yeah. And I'm guessing if you download it digitally, I don't know. I mean, they're doing the pre-install stuff, right?
I expect so. But yeah, there are times, I mean, I know on Steam, when I've pre-loaded stuff, it doesn't let me get the updates until the game's released. So I don't know how it works on the Xbox One, but it could be interesting. Everyone might be in wait for a 20 gig patch.
Hopefully you have Fios or something. Because, goddamn. Yeah, like, just, like, the, you know, if it doesn't pre-install, like, I'm sure people are like, okay, let's get in the game. And if they don't know about this, I'm like,
oh. No!
Yeah, like, they're just going to be sitting there for, like, the next couple hours going, come on, just want to play.
Is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done? Oh, let me get my Xbox. I'll just play it on that.
Yeah, make yourself a sandwich. Go to sleep. Take a nap. So you're all refreshed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't take the day off work for this, because you'd be wasting half of it. Yeah, so.
That sucks, man.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't make.
And you know there's going to be a hell of a lot of people downloading it, so it's going to take ages.
Crashing the servers. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with this next month. We'll see. That's it for that. Dan, what's next?
Well, the next up is, it's about Far Cry 4 and numbers, because apparently it's all about the numbers, or apparently not. Because apparently this pop-up just wants to float over what I'm reading. Damn you! I don't want to do your site survey. Piss off! Ubisoft, Far Cry 4, they're targeting 1080p across the Xbox One and PS4, the publisher confirmed today, following Twitter comments from the director, Alex Hutchinson. Apparently, even if the Xbox One and PS4 versions of Far Cry 4 end up running in different native resolutions, the differences will be negligible, he said. Asked by a fan on Twitter how the Xbox One version looked compared to the PS4 iteration, Hutchinson said, "I would say identical, but then some asshat would say a tree had one more leaf on the Xbox One, so let's say I don't see a difference." Another fan asked why Ubisoft couldn't lower the resolution in turn to improve the frame rate, and he replied, "Because then people just complain about that." So yeah, like the other developers before him, it doesn't sound like Hutchinson is too interested in engaging with the debate about resolution and frame rate. Overall, he said, gameplay trumps everything, which is quite right. We play the games because we enjoy playing them, not because they run at 1080p and 60 frames per second. Okay, that's nice to have, but it's not freaking necessary. A story and being able to play the game and you know, stuff like that, they're important. But, you know, yeah. It's great if it looks nice, but it doesn't have to look nice to be a great game. Anyway, there's more than a month left for it to come out. And the team's continuing to maximize the gameplay experience across all of the consoles and PC. Apparently they've not locked the resolution as yet, but they are aiming for 1080p on all platforms, including PC, depending on the computer you have, obviously. So it's cool. It's looking fantastic. I can't wait to give it a go. I really would have liked to have played it at EGX, but those queues were fucking ridiculous. So, yeah. I guess we'll find out how good it is soon. So, yeah. Woo. It's going to be fun.
I think I'm going to enjoy it just because I really enjoyed 3. So, and I want to shoot an elephant and make it go through and destroy everybody in a camp.
that looks great fun.
With 1080p and stuff. Like, I know if it's not crisp, but, like, I don't notice it enough to, like, make it a problem or anything. I know some people do have, like, trouble with that kind of stuff, and, like, they complain and, yeah.
Spend hours making sure it's looking as good as possible before they play the game.
Dan.
Yeah. Who'd do that?
But, like, some people just, like, cannot deal with it, even though I'm sure they played games before there was 1080p out.
Yeah. Your like, numbers are bigger than mine. No.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've never had any trouble, like, dealing with it. Like, I could jump into a game and not do anything, even though I set it up on Ultra.
The thing is, it's the game industry that's pushed 1080p and 60 frames per second on us. Like, it's the thing to have. And now they're complaining that people are complaining that it's not 1080p and 60 frames per second. I mean, they can't have it both ways.
I remember whenever the one woman with 343 came out during E3, not this year, but last year, talking about Halo 5, or was it Halo 5 or 4? I think it was 4. She's like, it's going to play at 1080p, 60 frames per second, and like everybody in the crowd was like, yeah! Like all excited. Yeah, I was like, okay. Oh, well. But, yeah. Anything else to say about that, Dan?
No, not really. I'm just looking forward to playing it.
Good, because I got some exciting news.
Hey!
For like
you're pregnant. Oh.
Yes. So, you know this game, Magic the Gathering, it's been out for many years.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
Have you ever heard of the Black Lotus card?
I think I have, actually. But
it's a very, very rare card.
Mm.
And only 1,100 of them were printed back in 1993. Yes, this is a long time ago. That's the year my brother was born.
I was 14.
I was 4. So, I remember playing with my brother back in the day and him talking about the Black Lotus and shit like that, because I don't know where he heard about this stuff because the internet wasn't a big thing. But I just remember hearing that this is like the rarest card around, all this stuff. And apparently this guy, who was just doing a video opening up one of the starter packs, like old starter packs with the cool original cards and all that stuff. So he opens up and apparently, he was talking about this on the video. I actually watched the video and, he's talking about how the decks and everything, always had the rarest cards on top. And it went, from the, well, top being the, face side looking at you where you can actually see and read text and all that stuff. So, it goes rare, uncommon, common. And he went through it backwards, so, he was like just flipping them over all the, commons, uncommon show and all the different stuff, you know, the planes and water, whatever. So he goes through all that stuff and he gets to the first two, which are the two rares. and he like freaked out like a little schoolgirl because, well, apparently the first one he flipped over was also a pretty rare card. And the second one he flipped over, which was the first one in the deck, so if he just would have looked at the front, he would have seen it, was the Black Lotus. And he was like he was shaking and didn't know what to do with himself. Because this card sells for $30,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I think if I would have found that card, I probably would have reacted worse than he did.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, new PC! Yes!
Yeah, like, you know, especially because, like...
I still have all the games!
I want to know where he got this, like, original deck from, like where he just kind of bought this old starter deck from. But, like, you know, finding the rarest card in the game, and, you know, oh, man, I would be so excited. It's funny because it took him over 8 minutes to get to the front of the deck. So, and it's good because he did this whole thing while wearing gloves. So, like, he didn't even touch it with his hands, so, you know, it's basically mint condition, and then he made another video showing it, and it's not perfectly mint because even though he opened it up, it was fresh. Because of how they wrap the cards and everything, because it was in the very front, it's had some folding on the edges from how it was wrapped. So it wasn't like perfect condition, but still it's like, you know, almost as good a condition as you can really get without, you know, being perfect. So yeah, the card's going to go for a lot of money, I'm sure. And it's awesome to hear that a fucking 20-year-old, you know, deck that somebody opened actually had one of the rarest or the rarest card in the damn game. I wish I was him. I'd actually be able to pay off bills. I don't know. Man, I'd want to keep it, but I wouldn't. Because I want money.
Meh. I'd get rid of it because, well, I don't play it.
I'm still a collector of cards and stuff. Like, I still have all my Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Hey, I have the full Exodia.
Guess how many I've got? None.
I love cards. I don't know why. It sucks because I always liked the original Pokemon cards and I never really liked how the newer ones looked and everything. Oh, I was pissed off because my mom saw I had a full set of the first 151 cards, and my mom sold them for $30 on eBay. I was so pissed. But that, like, I had a double set that is still only missing a few cards. Like, I had almost two complete sets of the decks. So, yeah. I guess we should stop talking about cards before we put everyone to sleep. Damn, what's next?
Okay, next, Assassin's Creed Rogue, coming to PS3 and Xbox 360 in November, is going to make its way to the PC early next year, Ubisoft have confirmed. So, woo!
You think it's going to come out on Xbox One and PS4 that time as well?
I have no idea. It might do, but you never know. So yeah, if you love a bit of assassination and want to get more than just Unity, well, if you're on the PC or the last gen consoles, then it's, well, we knew about it on the last gen consoles, but it's coming to the PC, so I don't know if I'm excited or not. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it's set in the North Atlantic, kind of area, yeah, so 18th century New York and the American frontier, and the Atlantic. So, could be interesting. Lots of stabbing. Yay. I'll probably give it a go at some point. But yeah, that's just a short bit of news coming out on the PC next year. Woo.
It's no Assassins of Mordor.
No.
Oh, God. I'm still going to play them all anyway, because I'm a sucker.
Okay, what have we got next?
Well, Mario Kart 8 DLC. Link's coming in the first one. I'm super excited. I bought the DLC, like, as soon as I found out you could. And the first one comes out next month, and it's bringing Link, and it's also bringing Epona, kind of. Because Nintendo announced that with Link coming in, Link's got his own motorcycle. And it looks like a horse, kind of. With the weird headlight thing between the ears on top of the head. It's interesting.
Sorry, I'm having weird flashbacks to Final Fantasy 13. Oh, I've got a Peugeot sword. Someone on my friends list has bought that on the PC.
Wait, what?
Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, 13. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. One person on my friends list.
Who's that?
Varalai used to play with Common Troll, a lot of League of Legends and stuff, and she played a bit of Guild Wars 2 with us at one point.
Maybe she doesn't never had a, or doesn't have anymore, or whatever, a PS3 or Xbox 360.
Yeah, so, well, you know, the will to play something good. Anyway, sorry.
It's not that bad.
It's better than 13 too.
Yeah.
Which is better than 13 Lightning Returns or whatever it's called.
I need to play that, but I'm gonna pick it up cheap whenever I do play it, because I heard it's not that good at all. But anyway, back to this. Yeah, Link's getting his Epona in a motorcycle form, so. That'll be interesting. I don't normally play as motorcycles, but I may do it once or whatever. But Link will probably be my go-to person, and if anybody uses them, I'll just have to kick them off the road, like Road Rash style. Beat him with a pipe, get the Master Sword out, just cut his head off. God, that'd be cool. Ooh, I wonder if they're gonna... I haven't heard this, and I doubt they will, but if they bring, like, new items with this shit, like bombs for him or something, that'd be cool. Just thought about that, that'd be amazing. But yeah, I'm excited. It looks cool. It's not gonna look exact like that in the game. It'll like look a little bit more cartoony, but the concept for it looks pretty awesome. So I'm excited for it, and I'll be playing it with Steve on a Saturday, I'm sure. We didn't play this week, sad. But anyway, yep, that's it, Dan.
Oh dear. Right. I know there's a load of Half-Life fans out there. I'm one of them. Loved it. Loved Half-Life 2. You know, and I'm looking forward to Half-Life 3. But there's a bunch of fans that have launched a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo with the hopes of raising enough money to create a We Want a Half-Life 3 advertising campaign so large that Valve can't ignore it. Apparently, it's backed by advertising agency McKee and Woolwork and Company. Is looking to raise $150,000 to get Valve to finish the game we've dreamed about for all these years. Apparently, the advertising blitz is aimed to be so massive that it'll reach every single employee of Valve. And if they hit $3,000, they'll create a Google AdWord campaign that specifically targets Valve's employees. And the ad will simply state, "We want Half-Life 3." If they reach $9,000, they'll also rent a truck with a giant billboard on it to drive around Bellevue, Washington, where Valve is headquarters. We'll plaster it with our propaganda and besiege Valve HQ in Bellevue, Washington, until their white flag is raised, or at least until the end of the day when the driver's shift is over, the group says. Should the funding reach $45,000, the group will hire a squad of...
This is my favorite one.
We hire a squad of Gabe Newell doppelgangers to approach Valve's HQ wearing We Want Half-Life 3 t-shirts. Who knows, maybe they'll sneak into strategic meetings and release Half-Life 3 themselves, they write. If this stretch goal is reached, the group promises to film the event for all to see later on. And finally, should they reach the $150,000 goal, the group will hold a huge concert in Seattle and invite all of Valve's employees to attend. The purpose of this is so that Half-Life fans can speak directly to Valve employees about their request for Half-Life 3. Apparently,
did you look at their page and they actually got $1,000?
Yep, they're a third of the way to the AdWord campaign. Anyway, the organizers, Chris Salem and Kyle Mazzizzi, I don't know, say that all the proceeds will go towards encouraging Valve to release Half-Life 3. They won't make any money out of this, they say. Backing the project at $5 gets you a personalized thank you card, whilst a contribution of $15 or more gets you a We Want Half-Life 3 pin. Giving $75 to the campaign will net you a We Want Half-Life 3 t-shirt, as well as the previous perks.
Damn it, I want a t-shirt, but I don't want to pay that much.
Yeah, I know. If you want to read more about it, go to their Indiegogo page. And I guess the good thing about Indiegogo versus Kickstarter is, you know, if you don't reach it on Kickstarter, you don't get anything. But with Indiegogo, the campaign could still become a reality even if they don't reach the full 150,000.
It's good for them. Well, I guess the people would still want it to happen if they're backing it anyway, so I guess...
Yeah. Okay. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Why don't you just wait? You know, it was wasting money.
Because anyway. They can't wait any longer.
Good things come to those who wait, according to the Guinness advert. Yeah, okay, what have we got next, Gary?
An interesting bug.
Yeah, apart from that, what's the next bit of news?
An interesting bug.
Oh, right, okay.
So apparently, World of Warcraft came out with new character models.
Oh, cool.
But with this came a bug, and it turns everybody that has a black character to turn white. So they should call the bug like the Michael Jackson bug or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know how this happened. Like they only tried the character models on white characters or something. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just for the black texture that it makes it white, or if it's like, say, Asian, where it's a different kind of color scheme. Yeah. Well. Oh, maybe anything but a certain white, maybe. It'll change it. But it's definitely noticeable whenever your character was once black, and they turn white.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's strange. And apparently they're working on getting the bug fixed. Now, I don't know if this will turn your character back, or if they're going to have to do somewhere like, you know, with Guild Wars... I think there was that one time, or like, I know they have that thing you can buy to change your character's skin and hair and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, make them stupidly fat by mistake.
Then somebody has to buy you things so you can change it back because your character looked hideous. It was horrible. Yeah, that was a big piece of wood. Anyway, but it says the Blizzard rep tells Kotaku, and they say, we introduced new character models with today's patch and ran into a bug where some of our HD textures are appearing too light when the lighting hits them at certain angles. Wait, so depending on the lighting, they change color? So it's not actually the character themselves. Okay, so that's interesting. We're working on an update for that, and we'll get it implemented as quickly as possible. It's kind of like a black light, except with a different angle. Anyway, we also have a similar issue with Worgen skin options, but it's based on a different bug. Worgen customization options are linked between each form, human and Worgen, and we found an error in how we numbered the texture files used to set which skin tones are linked between them. This means that some Worgen players out there are seeing a pretty stark mismatch, which is due to the game simply pointing at the wrong texture files. We're in the process of working on a patch to address this issue as well, and we expect that to go out as soon as tomorrow. Okay, so that clarifies a little bit better. But it's interesting how, like, lighting can actually point to how the texture shows up. So it's a coding issue, and since I know nothing about coding, this is interesting. That's something you just never think about, but whenever the light hits, which is a code, it calls out on your character model a different code to show up. So yeah, that's interesting. Jason's like, oh, you fool, you should have known that. Maybe Jason didn't know, I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting to see. Yeah, anyway, what's our last little piece, Dan?
Well, the last bit, actually is quite interesting. But not if you read the comments at the bottom of the article that I'm looking at, which is on GameSpot. Google have revealed the $99 Nexus Games console. So actually, it's a kind of TV console. It plays games and movies. It's a cool little device. It looks like it's got like a Roku remote for navigating menus and stuff. It comes with a controller. It's got 8 gigabytes of internal storage. And apparently it's powered by an Intel Atom quad-core processor clocked at 1.8 gigahertz with 1 gig of RAM. And an Imagine Power VR Series 6 graphics engine. Okay, so what's so great, I hear everyone asking. Boo, I can play my phone games on my TV because I've always wanted to do that. Well, yeah, okay, that doesn't sound great. But don't forget, you know, you've got the operating system and you'll be able to have, you know, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, full library of Android games. Yeah, so what? So you can plug your phone into the TV. That gives you the same thing. Yes, it does. But one thing I've noticed, which no one in the comments has actually mentioned, is that this thing's actually going to be powerful enough to use Steam in-home streaming as the client. So for $99, having something you could put on your TV in the sitting room and use in-home streaming... Okay, it's not possible at the moment because it's not supported with Android, but that's actually, if you look into some of the stuff on Steam, it looks like that might be coming soon. So yeah, it suddenly goes from just like another Ouya or whatever else, you know, something nothing special. Yeah, to something that actually could be quite cool. You know, being able to stream your entire PC library. Well, anything that doesn't, use DirectX 11, I think, straight to your TV with virtually no lag and looking fantastic, as well as it looking pretty much as good as it looks on your PC. That sounds like a bloody good deal for $99.
It's interesting. So, yeah. It looks like it's more shaped like, say, an Xbox One controller, but laid out more like the Wii U Pro controller.
Yeah, and it's made by Asus.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be pretty good quality. The only thing is, from the gallery, you can't see if there's any USB inputs. So if you want a wired keyboard and mouse, that might be an issue.
It's weird because it's like a disc. Like,
yeah, it looks a bit like a hockey puck.
Yeah, I wonder how big it actually is.
I have no idea. Well, you can get a rough idea seeing it next to the remotes and the it looks like a coaster size, maybe a large size coaster,
probably about 6 inches in diameter. Yeah.
But yeah, on the face value it doesn't look like anything groundbreaking or useful, but actually when you consider that, yeah, there's a huge back catalogue of some fairly good Android games, you know, things like The Walking Dead, and then the possibility of being able to stream your library via Steam in the future, that could be pretty good. And no one in the comments, apart from me, which I've just put on 3 minutes ago, have actually noticed that. So, anyway, everyone's just going on, oh, I don't want to play Android games on my TV. Well, yeah. You might not have to.
They want to play Flappy Bird on their... on their...
Oh, God, that would be terrible. You imagine the size of the black bars on either side. It's in portrait instead of landscape. Oh, no. But, you know, Walking Dead, there's some cracking games on there. I've got Crazy Taxi on my phone, for crying out loud. I can play that on my... I can do that anyway because I just plug my phone into the... Anyway, it looks like it could be a cool little idea. And if it does take off with the Steam, if the whole Steam in-home streaming thing starts supporting Android, I'll probably pick one up because then I can just play in bed. Yay. So yeah, the $99 Nexus game console is a thing. Could be good, could be bad. Would you get one? I think I probably would if the whole Steam thing worked.
I think I'll still go with Amazon Fire because I have Amazon Prime, so...
Yeah, they've got their own weird OS that they're using for that, aren't they? It's not Android-based.
It's a version of Android, something like that. Yeah, I can't remember what the hell they're doing exactly.
I would... Well, you can still use Amazon Prime videos on Android. They have allowed us to do that now.
Mm.
So, you know, if... I think, yeah. Only if it works with Steam in the future will I get one.
Yeah, I mean, $9 isn't a bad price for that.
Yeah, but yeah. At the moment, it doesn't give me anything that I can't already do by plugging my phone or into my TV or using a Chromecast, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for the news. We are going to take another quick break. I'm going to make another cup of tea. You're going to listen to some music, and we'll be back with the Quest of the Week, TGM checks, and all that usual stuff that we do before the end of the show. Okay, we are back, and last week we asked you for the question of the week, would you visit an esports or gaming bar if there was one in your area? Well, the first one was from GamerGirl27, first reply, and she said, yes, but where I'm from, it'd probably only be me in there. Not many would know what it was. Yeah.
Know about video games.
And next up, Gary?
Stefan 12, and he goes, I would go to both, though. I would go to both, though I would probably favor the esports event so I could take the family.
Well, that's cool. I have been to a gaming bar, and it was freaking awesome, and I want to go back, but I don't know when I'll next be in that part of London ever again. Now EGX is going to Birmingham. Anyway, this week, we are asking you, would you buy a Google Nexus thing, gaming thing that we were just talking about? Obviously, because the Google Nexus is a tablet or a phone, not the thing we're asking about. Anyway,
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Would you buy that Google TV gaming thing? Would you wait to see if Steam in home streaming became available on it, or do you just think it's kind of a cool idea for not a lot of cost? So yeah, let us know. And that brings us to the whole cleanup section and the TGM checks. Gary, why don't you take the first one?
Well, first one is from, again, GamerGirl27, and she says, I haven't played anything but Zuma Blitz. It's depressing. Now, I'm trying to... Whenever I saw this, I was like, she's talking about the game's depressing, or it's depressing she didn't play many games?
It could be both. I haven't played... the Zuma game for a while, but I did find myself spiraling to a well of depression after about half an hour of playing it. What am I doing?
Here's a question for her. Are you going to play it during Extra Life? And if you are, can you stream it?
Oh, that's the thing.
Look up Zuma Blitz now.
If I had a an Elgato or something, I could stream and capture mobile games. But alas, I haven't won any of those damn competitions.
Oh, damn it. Never mind. Zuma Blitz is not what I was thinking. It's Zumba I was thinking of.
No, that's just shooting balls. That's a long chain of balls. They're trying to match the colors.
Game Girl shooting balls. Anyway, yeah. I can't remember what other game does that, but I've played a game like that.
Bubble Bobble.
Yep, I think that's what it's called, actually.
Yeah, anyway, next up, it's Teflon, and he says that the game's an RPG, hashtag TGM check, Shadow of Mordor, and was too busy to play the free Steam games. I completely forgot about the free Steam games, but I think I had most of them. So
yeah, I have over half of them, so it's okay. It's not like it was that important.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's about it. So, Gary, shout-outs. Anyone you wanted to thank, hit, yell at, whatever.
It's a completely different shout-out. Well, this is going to be a little bit longer for me this week because there's a couple things I want to say. First one is going to be Extra Life. Donate to me or anybody that's going to be participating and playing games 24 hours and going insane and falling asleep like some people do on occasions when they're super tired. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to shout out the people that that donated to me because I haven't done it over the last couple weeks and I probably should have. And I'm kind of stalling because I can't click on myself to wait. Your page. There we go. I found it. So I want to shout out from, the earliest to the most recent. My mom, Kathy Leor, Bonnie Bezzi, who I don't know, but apparently my mom, I believe she said she works with her. Chris Williams from The Boss Wave, who was on last week. Simon Kepster, who is Kozigan, and I was trying to find if he had a Twitter to thank him, and apparently he doesn't have a Twitter, so I couldn't thank him. So thank you. And it's funny because he says I don't expect Steve to be doing this year. I'll donate to you instead. So yay! I got Steve's by default. And then of course Kim Gamer Girl. She donated to me and she says, good luck and no worries. I'll have plenty of coffee. And since I'm saying everyone else's, I might as well say, Chris's. Go Amherst, go. Good luck to you and all of the VG Hub team. So yay. So I'm all excited. I got, 85 out of 200 so far, which 200, I just did that because that's what you get for a t-shirt. So if I pass it, I'm going to raise it. And I'll probably just raise about $100 because I don't expect to get too much money because I don't know many people. So, yeah, thank you everyone that's given to me. And last person I'm going to shout out is Batch from Destination Gamer because he started doing a little radio broadcast kind of thing. And I'll have a link in the show notes that you can go check it out whenever he's doing it. And you can follow Destination Gamer and whatnot. He tweets up whenever he's streaming and all that stuff. And he's been doing like, basically a stream of like video game music. He talks to people, he takes requests and all that kind of stuff. And you can just sit back, listen to music and everything. I don't do it often because I don't listen to music normally when I play games. But whenever I'm doing other stuff, like today I was listening while I was getting all the show notes and everything set up. So I did that. And then I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, that's, interesting, he's doing this stuff. And then I really started to think about it, and I was like, this is actually really cool, because I don't know a podcast that actually has a little streaming thing, even though it's music, like, not, like, podcast kind of stuff, but still for, like, the website of Destination Gamer or whatnot, they have their own little, music streaming thing where he doesn't. Now, if he could do something, because Dan and I used to listen to Gwen, and everything whenever, we were playing Guild Wars all the time. They always did, like, giveaways and stuff for stuff inside Guild Wars and other games that they were playing at the time. So that was always interesting.
And they'd have other hosts on as well, so it would be going.
Yeah, that's
pretty much continually.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna get into. If he can get other people to, like, do streaming and stuff. He could have, like, people set up for his time slot and shit like that. So could actually, keep it running more often and stuff like that. And then the other thing would be, if there was a way to do something with, giving away little prizes and stuff like that. Like, Guild Wars was a little different because these people actually got these items on their own and they were giving them away. And it's a little bit different for this because people that would be listening may not be playing stuff like that, and you'd have to figure out what you would give away and stuff like that. And you don't want to spend like all your money giving stuff away to people. But yeah, just thinking about it, it was really cool. And then I thought about it, and whenever we were listening, Dan, he did like a little, guess what this song's from. And then it just reminded me of Pixel Tracks in a way, except for, how he did it was more like the question block, from Nintendo Oki, where there weren't any clues. They just said, what's this music from? Except they gave a theme to it. But, for Pixel Tracks, Steve always gave out a little thing saying what this was kind of from, what the game, like a description of the game and stuff like that. And then I was like, man, I should totally bring back Pixel Tracks. But I don't have a voice that people would listen to like Steve, so I'm not sure about it. If you want Pixel Tracks prop pack, let me know. Maybe I'll do it, because before Steve did it for the last time, I was actually going to ask him to get into it and help him out and shit like that. Cause I do something like quarterly and I give away, I don't know, $20 gift card or something to, Steam or, Xbox Live, whatever, for it. So if people want it brought back, I can always do it, because I like video game music a lot and I would like to do that kind of thing. It's really cool. But yeah, I think it's pretty awesome what, Batch is doing with that, because, I don't know any other podcast that actually does this kind of stuff. And, it's just starting out right now, so it's a little choppy, but, as it goes on, it'll get better, I'm sure, and I think, it could be a really awesome thing in the end, especially if, it becomes a more continuous thing and, people in the community it's, it's Destination Gamer, they can, get people from the community just to, get in, stream and do that kind of stuff, and it'd be a pretty awesome time. So, I'm sure it'll get better. It just needs to, be on for a little bit longer, and it sounds like Batch is having a lot of fun with it, so go you, and that's it for my shout-out. So, Dan, who do you got to shout-out?
Whoever gave me this illness and the dizziness, screw you, sir. Or ma'am. I can't think of anyone at the moment. I'm just feeling so rubbish. So yeah, check out Batch's stuff. Obviously VGHub.net, go and check them out. There's a load of stuff there. Everyone else has got in contact with us over this past show, of course. And I've just gone really dizzy. I can't think. So that'll do.
It's all the static in the background, man.
Web for the week to come, Gary. Where can we find you?
Twitter, Amherst89, Steam, Amherst_89, Nintendo Network, Amherst1289, and PSN, Amherst0289. Oh, shout out, completely forgot. I got the free Vita off my friend with four games. Nice. And it came with Assassin's Creed Liberation, Killzone Mercenaries, Little Big Planet, and there's another one I can't remember. I was hoping, whenever I saw it, I was like, man, too bad it's not, even though it's free, so I can't complain. Oh, it was Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. So yeah. But I was like, man, too bad it didn't come with, the Uncharted one. Cause that'd be cool. Cause I do need to get that game and play it. Cause I heard it's good, it just has all the gimmicks of the game. Or the gimmicks of the system. Am I going to be anywhere else? Nope, I'm not going to be anywhere else. So, Dan, where are you going to be?
Well, as ever, I'm hardly down pretty much everywhere, apart from in Elite Dangerous, when I am still Bomb Cake Avenger. That's about it. Gary, did the chores.
All right, I'm going to try not to lose my voice in the next couple minutes. So you can find us at facebook.com, the Gamespin podcast, and we have a new like, and that is Jesse Cole Collier. So yeah, hey, more people liking the page. It's awesome. I love it. I should put some money in there, like $10 or whatever, and be like, show more people, spam us out. But other than that, give us some voicemails. Call the RPG if you're in the US. Call the RPG hotline at 412-267-RPG1. And then you can also email us, and if you don't want to call or you live in the UK or Australia or China, that'd be awesome. Give us a voicemail from China or Japan or anywhere over there.
Or the International Space Station.
Yeah.
That'd be freaking awesome.
Can they do that?
That'll never happen.
They must have some sort of communications.
To us?
Well, to NASA, and then they could...
If you're from NASA and you listen to this podcast, I should just get my...
What the hell are you doing with your life?
I should get my brother to listen one week because he works for NASA and shit. Anyway, yeah, give us an email, send us in, you know, an MP3, you know, anything. Talk to us, send us in RPG questions, all that stuff at thegamespinrpg@gmail.com. And then we also have a Twitter account, which is @thegamespinrpg. And we have two new followers, Kenny999 and Fraser Moo. which is Fraser Moore. He's on the Overseas Connection, and his main one is Game Punchers. So give him a listen. He's a cool guy. He's from Canada. And then you can also give us your #TGMChecks and #TGM answer the #TGMQuest and get us in that stuff, and we'll read on the show, and we love to do that, and we love you guys, and we just love people that listen to the podcast and communicate. It's awesome. And then you can also listen to us if the shit would actually upload, because it didn't the last time I tried to upload four podcasts. But you can check out YouTube for, you know, all of our crazy podcasts and TGM tagalongs and all that stuff. So you can go there at youtube.com/gamespinrpg. And then you can also watch on Twitch, and be sure to watch Saturday, because we are going to be on there all day long. 24 hours of continuous sleeping at streaming.
Chopping wood, sawing wood.
Yeah. So, yeah, be sure to check it out. It's twitch.tv/gamespinrpg. No new followers on there. Maybe we'll have some over the week. And weekend, I'm planning on playing some crazy games of some kind, I'm sure. And if you have any suggestions, let me know what you want me to play, because I'll play something, I'm sure. And speaking of this, I'm calling out the Everyday Gamers guys, because they keep complaining about me sending them putt-putt. But Holy Headshot, Mr. Chris Maurer, who's on the podcast before, he's actually going to play putt-putt with his kids, and I'm sure they're going to have a blast, because I've already had a kid playing putt-putt the last couple times she's been over, and she completely loves the game so much. It's hilarious seeing her laugh and everything at the game. I don't know if she's laughing at how horrible it is or not, but yeah, he's going to have fun, and they just keep complaining. So I told them on Twitter, and they never answered me because they're too afraid. Which I don't know why they'd be afraid, because I told them to suggest a game for me to play, and they haven't. So I will play any of your shit games that you suggest, and maybe I'll even buy it, because I don't mind playing crap games.
You certainly don't.
I love them. Damn it. Shit. And last but not least, and I feel bad now, iTunes reviews. We want them, we need them, we love them. And I was texted by Jeremy, we had him on the show, and we have a iTunes review, but I can't find it because I forgot today, whenever I was telling myself I should have, I forgot to download iTunes again, because that's the only way I can figure out to find it and read it out. So I need to re-download that shit so I can get to it. But he says there is an iTunes review and I should read it, and Jeremy, you can come over and kick me in the balls or something. but yeah, that's it. Dan, get us out.
Okay, well, that will do it for episode 40. So on behalf of, well, Gary, I'm Hardy Dan. We're the Gamesmen. And until next time, we ask,
what role will you play? So I was listening to that thing you sent.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like somebody snoring. That literally sounds like somebody sawing logs.
That's what I said last night.
It's like, it's interesting. Hopefully my throat holds up for this podcast. Hopefully it doesn't make it an editing nightmare with me having to stop or cough or something so I can clear my throat and actually talk. I don't know. It's very hard. So you're actually gonna go make tea or something?
Yep, I'm just getting my mug and whoa, fucking hell.
I'm gonna hear like a fucking big bang. Dan? Dan?
What's the English for 911?
God. I can't remember who said that whenever I was I didn't get to hear it. My cousin did. It was his grandma, I believe, and she's like, "What's the number for 911?"
It's 822. All right, okay.
She'd be like, "It's 999."
If not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion for a full refund.